We have helped 500 plus brands who are actively using our platform day in and day out, like including companies like General Mills, Yokohama, Honda, PwC, and Amcor. So such kind of large companies use our platform to manage their international shipments and now domestic shipments as well. We have offices in New Jersey, Singapore, and India, and we are operating in more than 35 countries, helping customers in more than 35 countries to manage their shipments. Our team is more than 150 people strong, and we don't want to increase the team a lot, but using these team members only, with the help of these team members only, we are able to grow to such a scale and help so many customers, because we are building a scalable solution to the problem.
Gautam Prem Jain, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for being with me. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to dive into your own entrepreneurial journey, that of also GoComet, and talking a little bit about the way that you're taking a really interesting problem that I find very interesting in the logistics space and air transportation and really making a big dent in it. And your own background also is super interesting, both from an entrepreneurial perspective, but also from an academic perspective. And so I'm really curious about that as well. But tell me a little bit about, what space we're even in. So 7 years ago or so, you're looking into the space from an entrepreneurial side. What is the problem that we're experiencing here?
Sure, Michael. When we actually started GoComet, we were not planning to start a software company in this space. In fact, we were doing a small side business where we were buying goods from China and drop shipping them in the US. So while we found that buying and selling were easy because of Alibaba.com and Amazon.com, but the actual transportation of the goods from China to the US was where lot of our energy, lot of our time went. We had to reach out to multiple freight forwarders' websites and then wait for the replies. And we were thinking, we can track a $10 cab ride or a $60 cab ride very easily on our phones. And we can do the same for food, but we cannot track a $100,000 worth of container so easily, right? We thought that, is that how this industry operates? We did a little bit. We talked to a lot of people. We talked to a few more people, and we found that actually even the largest companies operated on emails and phone calls. They did not have a ubiquitous system which is there for everyone to use. And we found that, oh my God, this is a huge problem and this is a huge opportunity. So we quit our jobs at that time and we decided to start GoComet.
And incredible. And now, why is it the thing that you're discovering this big gap and this big problem space? What led to this opening? So what were the different market conditions or the advancements which now led to this big vacuum that you're filling in?
Surely I can share about that. What we have learned about this is that there are a few departments. So in 1980s, the ERP systems came, right? Oracle and SAPs, they started. And then every company who operates now has to have an ERP system. In 2000s, the CRM systems came, right, for customer management. Then HRMS systems came, support ticketing systems came. And now most of the departments are there such that which have a system, every company who starts, they have to have a system for that department. However, we found that logistics was a space which was not, especially international logistics, it was a space which was not considered to be upgraded. Only the top few companies like the Fortune 100 companies made their own custom development software, but not this one. I think one reason for that is because it doesn't appear to us in normal everyday lives, right? It's not, unless you are an import and export industry, it's not visible to us how it impacts our daily lives. More than 50% of the goods that we use are either imported from other countries or lot of goods are exported from every country, right? So it touches our lives, but it's a black box. It's invisible to most of us. And that is why I think the innovation did not happen. That's not the case anymore. Now, a lot of companies are opening up. They have actually started looking for a system. When we started GoComet, it was not the case. Now they are actively looking for a system, which is supply chain visibility system. to help their international logistics.
And so the impact, obviously, on the consumer, I think, is hugely important, and the impact on these companies as well. I guess it's primarily financial, less financial costs for them, and less and more competitiveness.
Oh, it's both. It's both. One of the great, for example, advantages for people who use GoCommerce is that they can give Amazon-like updates to their consignees, to their end consignees. And it's hard to believe, but it was not possible before GoCommerce or before a few years ago. So the companies, they had to track their shipments online and they had to send manual updates. Even if they are doing like 700 containers a month, they had to send manual updates to the customer. So if something doesn't reach on time, someone picked up the phone and called someone that, where is my shipment? They can't find it online, right? And then they ask some other person, because generally the call would go to the person who sold them, which is in the sales team. They would not know of the shipment. It will go to another call, and that's how the shipment would be tracked. Instead, like, that's a huge problem. Ideally, it should be very easy world map where I can see where all my shipments are, when are they going to arrive, along with the expected date, so I can plan my inventory, I can plan my trucks according to the shipments. It should be very easy to see. And if any shipment is delayed, I am not concerned about the 500 shipments. I'm concerned about the 15 shipments which are delayed, because they can impact my production schedule. So it should be very easy to see them on one place as exception management, and that's what we enable the companies to do.
And then who is responsible for looking at this visibility platform and have the insights as to what's happening? What is sort of this figure like, and what is the responsibility in their day-to-day?
Sure. So that is mostly the VPs of supply chain or VPs of international logistics. So they are responsible that everything happens on time. And generally their job is hard. It's like day from starting to the end, it's unending Excels and emails going about all their shipments. There is a lot of documentation for customs which is required. There is transfer coordination required between the freight brokers, between the shipping lines, the custom house agents, CHAs, and between the actual production of the material. So there's a lot of coordination required. Only when things go wrong do we hear about them, just like the Red Sea crisis. It blocked the Suez Canal, and the ships had to take a longer route. It increased the freight prices for not just the ships who had to go and take a longer route, it increased the air freight prices because companies started shipping via air, right? And ultimately led to blockage of a lot of ships, and it increased the rates in other regions which were not involved, just like from China to Singapore. Those shipment rates also increased because, and they had nothing to do with Red Sea, because they're in a connected world, right? So this, that's their job, to manage these shipments and to ensure that it reaches on time for the end customers for the holiday season, for the regular work, for getting things on time.
100%. That is super fascinating. Why is this fascinating for you? There's many interesting problems out there. Why is this problem particularly interesting for you?
In general, so before GoCommerce, actually, we had started a company called Platt. We were in the third year of our college. We were inspired by alumni from the same college, like Vinod Khosla, Sundar Pichai. They are all, and we were always thinking we should build a huge business like them. If we get the opportunity, why we will take that with both hands. So in fact, it started during our third year of college, and in that we started Platt. Again, it was in the real estate industry, right? It was a broker marketplace, real estate agents marketplace, using technology to help them connect to each other, right? Then housing.com acquired a company, and why this is important to us, we are finding even the real estate, even international logistics, both are unsexy industries. Both of them are unsexy industries, which a lot of people do not start a business in. That's why we think a huge gap remains in these areas. There are literally so many things to solve. You find just one good piece and you solve that for the entire world, and like the world will be better for it, and we will have created a huge company in that process. So that is why we think that to solve the, to get the, actually go after this opportunity of going after the unsexy industries?
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that we're learning that these unsexy industries, those are where you both probably have the most potential for innovation while also disrupting entire business models that are highly profitable. Are there interesting technological or engineering related opportunities or challenges when it comes to the platform you're building that now from the engineering side also excite you?
Absolutely. That is actually, we are using a lot of AI in our platform right now. For example, one of the key things is like reading digitization of invoices, right? So invoice audit is a huge process. There is a process where companies need to know the predictive ETA of their shipments. How can you predict when my shipment will arrive? There is a lot of AI which is used to accurately predict that where are thousands of shipments currently, what can be the future potential issues at any of the transshipment ports or at any schedule of the ships, right? The vessels. So this leads to using the cutting edge latest methods of prediction, and AI helps us in giving the best value to our customers. So when we started, it was just like basic bare bones, but has led to now increasing and better, you can say, the state of the art technologies which we're using in other fields to predict, do predictions in the supply chain industry as well, because companies want that visibility.
Mm-hmm. To double down on the prediction side. So what in your vision, what could the prediction element actually provide from a business perspective? So now bridging from the predictive AI to the business impact, how big of an impact can this actually be if done right and fully implemented?
Looking from a business's perspective, they have to maintain a certain days of production inventory just in case something happens, right? Just in case a shipment is delayed. So they have to fill their warehouses with unused inventory for example, 30 days of inventory, right? If you are able to accurately predict when my shipments are arriving, then they are able to accurately place orders and plan their inventory better. This has helped many of our customers to actually reduce the number of active inventory days by up to like 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and wow, this has a huge impact on their. Wow. You can understand that it can have a huge impact on their working capital. It can have a huge impact on the people who are managing this.
Incredible. Tell me a little bit about GoComet today as a company, as a solution. A little bit about where you stand.
We have helped 500 plus brands who are actively using our platform day in and day out, like including companies like General Mills, Yokohama, Honda, PwC, and Amcor. So such kind of large companies use our platform to manage their international shipments and now domestic shipments as well. We have offices in New Jersey, Singapore, and India, and we are operating in more than 35 countries, helping customers in more than 35 countries to manage their shipments. Our team is more than 150 people strong, and we don't want to increase the team a lot, but using these team members only, with the help of these team members only, we are able to grow to such a scale and help so many customers, because we are building a scalable solution to the problem.
That's phenomenal. And so take me to your vision, 5 years down the line.
Sure. We see that just like other departments, just like CRMs, just like there is ERP solution and accounting softwares, international logistics is also going to have a ubiquitous supply chain visibility platform where every company who has to do import and exports will be using a system to manage their shipments. That is not there. When we see that will happen when at least 80% of the companies in the world have moved to such a system. At GoComet, our vision is to make that change happen, give them the opportunity, give them a solution which can ease their lives, save their cost, and transform an industry as a whole.
Amazing. Well, I wish you best of luck on this mission. I think it's a huge, bold vision, and I think the disrupting existing industries is incredibly incredibly exciting and innovative. Take me a little bit to your entrepreneurial side. So your own experience as a now serial entrepreneur, building companies, seeing the roller coaster ride, you know, we're living in some of the most tumultuous times from the market, from every perspective, both technological and business wise. What are you experiencing yourself here?
So Michael, when we started GoComet in 2016, that was just after a boom and a bust in the Indian startup ecosystem. 2015 was like a lot of companies had raised money, and then 2016 was where very few companies were able to raise money. I knew at that time, and that's a key message that I generally share with a lot of entrepreneurs, is that market ups and downs will come. It's our job as entrepreneurs to plan for them so that we don't get swept away with those markets ups and downs. It again came a couple of years ago when the market was in euphoria. Everyone was in euphoria. People were hiring engineers like with crazy salaries all around the world. You couldn't get your hands on a good engineer at any time. So me and my CTO, we spoke about it. We thought that, and based on our learnings from earlier, we said that no, this is not the good time to hire anyone, any senior leader of engineer in our company. So we also realized that it's a bubble and it will burst in some time. 6 months, we waited for it, and layoffs started happening. Every company started laying off. There were a lot of startups who sadly had to close because they were not getting any more funding. And we were lucky to get a few good engineers at that time who had like closed their own companies and who were like-minded with us, had a great culture, and then built our company. The point is that when everyone is hiring, do the opposite. Don't hire. When everyone is laying off, then is the time to do most investing. But you don't see that in the current world, right? When everyone was investing, VCs used to give a lot of money. Now, it's not possible for any startup to get money very easily. However, I believe this is the best time for investment. This is the best time for investment because no one is doing that. This is the best time for marketing and for scaling up the existing companies with strong fundamentals, right? So our lesson is that like just be taking a step back. It's very easy to get involved in like get very busy in the day-to-day and not think of these big things and then hoping that it will go well. It's not the right way when you're running a business. You have to think that market ups and downs will come. Another lesson is that how do you prepare for such ups and downs? Is that your business should be dependent on your customer revenue. It should not be dependent solely on the VC money, although VC money has helped us and we have used it for growth. Always use the VC money for growth, but not for day-to-day operations. Day-to-day operations should be carried out with customers' money, and that is where you can build a company which is resilient and will not dependent on, let's say, the money available with VCs, because it's not their mistake as well. The LPs who are putting money in VCs, currently the interest rates are so high that they will withdraw that money and they will put that in other markets which are giving better returns, right? So VCs can't put more money, but we can't be dependent on such ups and downs, which will come again, definitely. 7 years, it will come again, and not its cycle will start again.
And Kerr, what is the thing you enjoyed most on your entrepreneurial journey so far?
There was... In the initial, when we did not have any customers, we were trying to find out in 2016 that what a product should be and can be. One of the leading pharmaceutical companies in India, we just had a couple of like good screens at that time and not a working product. So they gave us a 2 months POC to prove our product, right? To prove our product. And we had to build the product and provide value for one of the largest export and import businesses. It's like super monumental task, very tough to do that. So what we did for those 2 months was that every day I used to go in the morning with their first team member. I gave them the product to use, gave them the screens to use, and saw them how they are using it, got their feedback, came back with the last team member of their day, back to my co-founders who are like tech geniuses, and they coded throughout the night to get those insights implemented. And again, in the morning, I used to show that, go to the customer again and show to their users, this is how you can use the product. This would go for 2 months daily. And it became like a routine for me. My co-founders used to tease me and say that, you join their office only. You are not coming to our office. You are going to their office daily. So that story stays with me because it got us one of our very successful and very great contracts and a huge brand name with us, which led to 6 out of 10 largest pharmaceutical companies of India like working with us. And now we don't serve only pharma, we serve FMCG, we serve auto, we serve chemicals as well. And yeah, that product is giving value to sort of like all sorts of customers in all the industries. And it makes me extremely proud to see that event today.
Amazing. Well, Tom, I really appreciate your time and your energy and your inspiration and your optimism. It really resonates through this conversation, and I am excited to share this with everybody. So best of luck with Go Comet. Continue doing amazing work in supply chains and bringing new and cutting edge technology and models to this. But also thank you for the insights on the general entrepreneurial journey and building resilient companies that are adaptive and can sustain the different roller coasters. So thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you, Michael. It is great speaking to you and hope it helps.
Thank you.